Is that the best kind of leader? Someone who's prepared to take risks?
If we talk about technology, and I like using these analogies so that when I arrive at my point, people can see how I've arrived at it. If we're talking about the best kind and we say, what's the best kind of technology? I would say it's the invisible technology. The best technology is the one that is so invisible you don't even know you're using it. Like an electric light bulb, as bright as it is, it's invisible. People don't see it. They don't talk about it. They don't come into your house and say, wow, what beautiful light bulbs you have. They just accept it. You walk into an office, you switch the light on, you expect it to work. It's invisible. The best kind of medicine is that the cures, not just treats the symptom and makes it somehow subside or makes the pain go away temporarily. It's one that cures. The best law administers justice. The best management is unheralded, not the heralded kind that we keep seeing people about us engaging in. Now let's get to the question then, what is the best kind of leader? The best kind of leader is one who is focused while aware. Now that's a double whammy. You're asking people to be focused and you're asking them to be aware. They are two skills that we used to always think were opposites, that we were taught that, hey, you really need to focus on this thing, which somehow to our mind meant ignore everything else. A good leader needs to be highly, single-mindedly focused while completely and totally aware. Aware of your environment, aware of what's going on around you, aware of other people and things and situations and resources and assets. It's like the story I heard about this boss who walked into an office and he said, gentlemen, I'm going. And he took his hat and left. And one of the workers in the office said, can you believe that? The boss, he wants to go home. He goes home. I wish I could go home. He said, well, go on. What's stopping you? He said, I can't go home. I'll get caught. He said, how are you going to get caught? The boss is gone. There's no one here. I'm not going to tell on you. Go home. So the chap thinks, okay. He takes his hat and he goes home. He opens the door to his apartment. And who does he see standing there? The boss, making passionate love to his wife. He rushes back to the office and says, my God, I nearly got caught. Now notice that person was so focused, he wasn't even aware of what's going on around him. And that's like an interesting story that shows the difference between focus and awareness and being able to do both. Leadership, on the other hand, the best kind of leadership, is that which is unattributable. We glorify leadership and we confuse it with the word leader so much that people aspire to it so much and then somehow expect a reward at the end of it. The truth about it is the best reward of excellent leadership is no reward but knowing you've done the right thing. It is so invisible and so unattributable, therefore wholesome. Anything else we are talking about ego, about staging, about being liked, about desperately trying to show who's in charge. Excellent leadership ought to go so unnoticed that you cannot even, if you tried, find out who instigated it and who created and who broke down the barriers, because that's not important. It's not the who. It's the fact that it's done. And it's not the fact that it's done, but why? Not for glory, but because it's right.
You mentioned before that it takes courage to stand up for what you believe in. Do you think we're afraid to be courageous?
The word courage seems to be associated with heroes and strong people, and we seem to think good things about people who are courageous. But when it comes to ourselves, we shy away from it because we think that courage also means risk, and risk usually means hardship. You get your head knocked off, you burn your fingers, you fall off the horse, using all those, you know, stories that we tell people. And because they think of the failure and they think that courage is a risk, it's a long shot. Courage to them is not certain. Therefore, they shy away from it because they don't, in fact, like the taste of failure. If you're going to go to your boss and say something really harsh, there's a risk that you might not actually get the point across, that you won't win, and therefore you're going to lose. But in itself, before you can arrive at courage, you need to build a few other things, like audacity. We need to teach people to be audacious. But do we? I doubt that we do. What do we tell young people? We don't like them to stretch, to go beyond the bounds, to try something different, to go against what the norms are. And so, when people aren't audacious, they can go nowhere near courage. But we deprive young people of all these very important steps, and then when they're older, we say, right, now you need to be courageous. You didn't get the steps right.